Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, September 25th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today. And joining us is Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Got a question about your doggy or your kitty? Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. If you want, you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. A little trickier. You have to make it as concise as you can. Don't make it a manifesto. Couple paragraphs. Get as much info in as you can. And Dr. Dallas will give it a shot. It's voxpop@wamc.org or 800-348-2551. We'll get to your pet questions right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls is Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach. She specializes in veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, geriatric care, and nutrition counseling. If you have a question for Dr. Dallas today, feel free. Got a few open lines. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And as I mentioned, brief emails are always easier to fit in the show. A couple paragraphs. I know you need to get details in when you're talking about medical conditions. It's voxpop@wamc.org. And the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas, how are you? It's been a while.
I know. I'm not sure what happened. Was I just gone over the summer? Or
I think you guys had some, you and Susan had some conflict.
Schedule.
And then I think we had a fun drive.
Oh, that's right. It was the fun drive. That's it.
And then there were a bunch of, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's it's good that you're back. How is things? That's good. I are good in English. How are things at the shop?
Things are good. We have had a number of new cancer cases that have come up recently.
Really?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of lymphoma all of a sudden, and I'm not sure why now. And that's actually the one cancer that I tell people, like, if we're going to treat it, it needs to be a conventional treatment. But I have one very special patient who's 15 and a half. She did not do well with chemo. So we are being guided by a board-certified integrative oncologist.
No way.
Down in New Jersey, who is guiding us. We're the hands on the ground. She's the brain, telling us how to treat this patient. Her name is Shelby. She's a 15 and a half year old, kind of mixed breed dog. She's been coming for acupuncture for years, so she's pretty balanced. But this lymphoma, I mean, things happen as we get older. So learning all kinds of new things about integrative cancer therapies through this doctor who's board certified.
And can you really be more specific about what it means?
Things that I've been really skeptical about, honestly, because, I mean, I practice 4,000-year-old medicine for a reason, because I trust it. And everything else that's new, I really have a lot of doubts about, and I kind of need to be told by specialists, like, oh, no, this is real. You can trust this. So, for example, we're doing something called high-dose vitamin C, IV vitamin C, which apparently has been found if you get vitamin C levels at a certain concentration in the blood, it can apparently kill certain types of cancer.
No way.
Yep. And I think that's considered a cytotoxic. So there's, you know, in holistic medicine, you support the patient, but then you also try to tackle whatever the problem is, in this case, the lymphoma. So they're doing things that I hadn't heard of, like mistletoe is a injectable medication that apparently kills cancer cells. Who knew? And we're checking vitamin D levels. So we're doing it's a lot of new stuff for me, which is exciting because I've needed somebody who is a specialist to say, you know, this is the real deal.
Have you seen any results, any good results?
We're just starting with her. We're just starting. So so we'll see. I've been doing a lot more on the herbal side, and almost any other cancer I'm willing to treat herbally and with, you know, supporting the patient. And I've seen really good results with Chinese medicine for certain kinds of cancers where we're trying to just stabilize.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
In other words, not trying to cure.
Correct.
But to just make it stasis.
Exactly.
800-348-2551 if you have a question for Dr. Chris Dallas. You mentioned it's 4,000-year-old technology or knowledge.
Yeah.
In a Western sense, in Western medicine, there's often sort of an arched eyebrow about these things. What will herbal medicine possibly bring to the table for curing or stabilizing cancer in a pet?
I think we're at an advantage in veterinary medicine because I'm not trying to get 20 and 30 year survival times on my patients, right? Yeah. I'm trying to get maybe 1 or 2 or 3 if it's a really younger pet.
Yeah.
So, you know, considering that our bodies pretty much function the same, I actually think that Chinese medicine is more powerful in the veterinary world. And I'm not sure, I'd have to talk to one of my human counterparts to see if they get the same kind of results that I do. Because, you know, for example, like I had a patient with a liver mass and we stabilized that mass for years. And when I took the dog off the herbal, unfortunately, it bled out. The dog bled out. So I knew that we were doing something, but that was 3 years. And for that dog, 3 years was a long time because she was 13 at diagnosis. So, you know, for somebody with the same issue in the human side, I'm not sure that it would be quite as compelling. But I don't know. I have never treated a person. So
fascinating.
I know. It's good
stuff. If you end up having to treat a person, you know it's the end times.
Yeah, yeah, right. So exactly.
I'll give you a shout.
Oh, I've been asked. So
really?
Oh, many times. Yeah.
Dr. Chris Dallas is our guest today. It's Pets and Vets. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Had an email early this morning before 6 a.m.
Oh, my.
From John in Delaware, who says, I see and hear a lot of commercials for fresh, human-grade dog food. I see those commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Looks delicious. Yeah. Our breeder always recommended high-grade dry food for our wonderful Airedales, and they both live to 14. Is one kind of food better than the other?
Like with all things, I'd say it depends, but in general, fresh food is better for sure. And I think what I like about those companies is we're starting to see a lot of buy-in from, you know, conventional regular veterinarians who've always been skeptical of these quote-unquote boutique brands and what have you. And there's just there are more and more veterinarians who are trying it with their own pets, seeing the results, seeing their dogs look more like they have more vitality and cleaner eyes and, you know, better looking skin and coat. So as they start to experiment with these fresh diets, which are balanced, you know, most of them, the companies have nutritionists that balance these diets. I think we're going to see a pretty big shift. I mean, obviously the price point is different and the convenience factor is not the same.
You have to keep them in fridges.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're not cheap. And I do sometimes encourage people to add extra protein because I think they can be a little hot, heavy on the carbs.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do think that those are preferable. And what a lot of people say that their dogs lived a long time on kibble. And I'm sure that is still true for a lot of dogs. I actually had a dog who lived to be 17, and he ate nothing but
kibble. Is that long for a dog?
Yeah, it was a shepherd mix. So
okay.
It was a long time. But I don't know. Something seems to have shifted. I know those dogs still exist. They're definitely out there. But we've talked about this in the show before, like glyphosate. I have no idea what that does to dogs. I know that a lot of integrative vets are looking at that's the Roundup. Sorry, looking at me with the blank.
Yeah, glyphosate.
Stare.
I've never
glyphosate,
heard of that.
Glyphosate. Yeah, sorry. That's Roundup, you know, the thing that's used to kill all weeds. And,
right.
Yeah, the plant is resistant. We're finding that a lot of dogs can be toxic for them. So,
believe it. It's probably not too good for us either.
Well, I'm guessing not. I don't know.
But I don't know. Our legal department wants me to say I don't know.
We're supposed to say that.
Do not sue me. Yeah. Anne writes in, my 12-year-old indoor black female cat pulls out mouthfuls of hair from her tail, legs, and flanks. She's on Bravecto for flea control. My vet insists that flea bites are the problem, but I have another cat and dog, both on flea treatment, and I've never found a flea on any of them. I was willing to believe for a while that fleas may have been in the environment because of stray cats that hang out, but no strays visited at all this summer. Any suggestions?
That does sound like a flea distribution, and it is the time of year. But maybe I would maybe switch up the flea preventative and try maybe put a Seresto collar or something on the cat just to see. So it sounds like maybe one cat is allergic to fleas and the others are not. So all it takes is one flea bite to set off a cat like that. As you know, we
all right.
About that too.
Nick writes in, good luck with this one. I still do not understand why on earth people get reptiles as pets, especially snakes. Don't they need to stretch out? Supposedly rats are cute and smart as pets, but again, why? Do people still have ant farms? So Nick has a little time on his hands. You want to tackle any of that?
I don't know if I can speak to people's motivations. That's a more in the psych department than the vet department.
All right. Thanks, Nick, for that one. Remember when people had pet rocks in the
70s? Yeah, right.
Wow.
And the chia pets. Remember the chia pets?
Right. I have a Bob Ross chia.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, we've never put chia seeds in it.
Oh, but you got it. That'd be pretty good.
I'm really, really looking forward to that. All right, one more email, then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets Today with Dr. Chris Dallas. Laura writes in, "Hi there. I'm just writing because I listen to your show often, and this is a pitch for a show." All right, Laura, we'll take care of that afterwards. I'll tell you what, Mike the engineer, cue up the music, Daddy-O. We'll play a little NRBQ, and we'll take a break. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. We're joined by Dr. Chris Dallas. Before we get to the phones, just thank you for all that you did this morning. We had a special roundtable panel. Great talk on economics, and we did a little fundraising around that in anticipation of our October fund drive. And you were fabulous, and thank you for everybody who pitched in, and we'll be doing it again. You'll get your chance if you missed it. Let's go to Woodstock. Doug, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a lab greyhound mix. Let me take this off speaker.
Okie dokie.
I have a lab greyhound mix that has a cyst or mass on its stomach, and it's making it very difficult for it to walk. It's about 12 years old, weighs 36 pounds. The mass or cyst feels fairly solid, and it has never been diagnosed as cancer, at least through blood tests and so on.
Okay.
I know that surgery would be rather expensive. I'm more concerned about how dangerous it would be for the dog.
All right.
Well, does your dog look old and geriatric, or does your dog still have a good, pep in their step and still.
She's able to chase deer. She can run. She's able to be very active outdoors, except that we've now, reduced the amount of walking that we do with her. We don't take her on the long walks anymore.
So it's interfering with her ability to walk. I mean, I don't think of age as a disease. So I think if she her number is not a disease, her 12-year-old age. So I think if she still has a fair amount of vitality to her and this is really holding her back, I do think it's probably worth talking to a surgeon. I do like to have board certified people work with older pets because the anesthesia really needs to be done properly as they get older. Their blood pressure should be maintained, and sometimes that's just too much for GPs, general practices, to manage. Mm. So you may want to get another opinion from a surgeon. And, sometimes they'll tell you, no, this is not something that you should address. But I think I'd want to hear it from a surgeon and someone who has the technical ability to hear them say, no, I wouldn't do this. Because they'll look at your dog and take into consideration her vitality. They will watch her walk and see if it is truly interfering in her activities. And they might make you feel better and say, no, you don't need to do this. But they should be able to walk through the options for you. So I think it's worth at least getting a second opinion on it.
All right, Doug, thanks a lot for the call. Number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop Pets and Vets Today with Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga to Amherst, Massachusetts. And it's Madeline Stern. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead. You sound fine.
Oh, great. Excellent. So I have a situation. I have she's approximately 13, 14 years old, an orange tabby, female, very lightweight. I've had several health issues, and which culminated in emergency surgery at the end of August and compounded by pneumonia. So I'm home recovering, but when I came home, my daughter was living at home, and Goldie Girl, the name of my cat, disappeared.
Oh boy.
And she has an interesting history. She was considered feral, just meaning homeless for a while. and that was in her history. So she knows how to take care of herself. However, she's also, I think, was sensitive to the fact that I wasn't as available, even though I, you know, I've always fed her, but I think she sensed something was up. And then, of course, with my absence, she's an indoor-outdoor cat, has to be outdoors. I mean, she just thrives on it. And she didn't come back, even though my daughter made an attempt to see if she could get her back.
Have we had a...
I live in a condo...
Have we had Have we had a sighting? Do we know that she's around?
Yes, yes. So okay. I live in a condo community, and people have seen her. I mean, see, I've seen her now. But people, when I came back, I understood that people thought I had abandoned her. So I had, you know, the presence of mind to call our local animal control officer, told her the situation, and she was able to respond to folks and gave me her point of view as to what to do next. So.
Oh, we lost you there. It was an exciting story. Madeline, are you still there?
Oh, no.
I think we lost connection with Madeline, or maybe we lost the phones altogether. I don't know. Either way, we'll just move on. Can you comment on that?
Well, I mean, that's a really tough situation, but I mean, it may just take a little bit of time. You know, I would at least say, like, try to find out if any of the neighbors are feeding her, because and as much as we like to read into cats' motivations, like,
good luck.
Food is the bottom line. So,
yeah. Well, that's true.
You know, getting at least the neighbors to kind of agree to not feed her if they are putting food out, and then starting to feed her at your condo, whatever's closest to your door, would probably be the place to start. But there are animal communicators who help repair these relationships.
I know. What do you mean animal communicators? What are you talking about?
Oh, it's so fascinating. And I just, it is too much to talk about here. But there are
psychics?
People. They kind of are. They're intuitives, I would say. And if I had not seen firsthand crazy changes in some of my patients' behaviors, I would not have believed it.
So you bought
myself.
Into this?
I saw it myself.
Okay.
It was hard to deny. It was really hard to deny. So, but it's very dependent, I think, on how good a communicator there is. But that's what they're there for, is to try that out. So it wouldn't that be interesting if she tried and then the cat just appeared and decided to stay at home again? I don't know.
Can you do that from a distance, like remote viewing?
Yep.
Send a little message out?
Exactly. It usually is done remotely.
You know, I know. I'm...
It's out there, but it is... It's compelling.
I'm skeptical, but,
I was
but
too.
Open-minded.
I know. Exactly.
There
That's all it
more
takes.
More things in heaven and earth, Dr. Dallas, that I've dreamt of in your philosophy. Let's see if the phones work. Roy in Western Mass, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Ziggy, we have Ziggy. Hey, guy. Hey, I'm Dr. and Ray.
Hello. Hi, Roy.
So Ziggy's a... Hi. Ziggy's a 3.5-year-old Great Pyrenees. And he has anal gland issues. He needs to be expressed about once a month. Otherwise, they fill up, and we know the consequences of that long term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any recommendations, doctor?
Yeah. So, you know, every time those anal glands get expressed, they get a little inflamed, and they become a little less able to do it themselves. So you kind of have to wean him off the process of having them done for him. But in the meantime, I would really bulk up his fiber content in his diet. So you can add psyllium husks and canned pumpkin or both. And so instead of going every 4 weeks, you know, once you get the fiber in his diet, try to go 4.5 weeks and then try to go 5 weeks and see if you can wean him off of it. But we were trained to avoid expressing anal glands for dogs as much as possible, because we then become the reason that they can no longer do it themselves.
What about all these different products over the internet?
I have not ever. I have never needed to use any. I don't even know if I'm not familiar with products specific to this problem, but.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, you could also have your vet try to do it from the exterior rather than go in rectally with their finger. Sorry, Ryan.
That's fine. Just continue. Good Lord.
He gets a little squeamish. So if they can do it externally, it might also cause a little less trauma to the tissue, so they can hopefully wean him off the process.
I'm going to let you go there. Why don't you get an animal intuitive to do the expressing from a distance? What do you think about that? Let's go to our friend Nina.
If only. I would love that.
Nina and Lennox, you're on. How are you?
Hi, I'm all right, except that we've got some luggage and shoes that smell like cat pee.
Ouch.
When we visit our daughter, it's generally for longer than a weekend because she lives overseas. She has two cats. The younger one, we think, is the one that has peed on my husband's shoe and golf bag. And the question is she stressed by our presence, or is this a physical thing? It's a female cat.
It's vindictive.
And I didn't think they were inclined to do that.
Yeah, they are. It's probably stress-related. And actually, stress can manifest as true cystitis, which is inflammation of the bladder, or it could just be a purely behavioral thing. But you could try spraying, you know, some of the Feel Away pheromone spray on your belongings to see if that kind of deters her. But she may just need to also be in her own space for a little while when you're there, just to kind of remove her from the situation and give her. Does she act skittish towards you when she's around, or is she interested in interacting with you?
She's nuts.
Yeah.
I
figured.
She has exaggerated kitten behavior. She's incredibly playful and frisky and plays very hard, but she is not a cuddly cat.
Yeah.
And while she will come into a room if we're there, and she'll come and explore, she'll jump on the bed, we can't hold her. But then neither can her owners.
Yeah.
Very long. She just doesn't allow it.
Right.
No, her personality is completely,
unhinged.
I'll stay with nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's probably like 30% of the cat population.
Yeah. Was it good luggage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a golf bag.
Rats.
That's a bummer.
I'm sorry, Nina.
Yeah, I'd try spraying some Feel Away. Keep her, and maybe have your daughter, like, keep her, like, physically in her own room for at least a day or two when you first get there to get her used to the change in the environment, because that can be stressful for some cats.
Okay,
we'll try anything.
All right, good luck.
Good luck. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. That's the number. If you have an odd question for Dr. Chris Dallas, it's our Pets and Vet Show, and we are off. Man, we are off to a flying start. Let's go to Rhinebeck, and Madeline, you're on.
Hi, I wanted to know if there was any way to prevent a cat from scratching furniture other than having a scratching post.
Yeah, I'm actually about to do this myself.
Really?
Yep, I'm going to temporarily line my couch with aluminum foil.
Well, sure you
are. Because I really want to save my couch. It's a new couch in our basement for watching TV where we have our television. And my cats have not gone in after any of our other furniture. For some reason, this one's just the right texture.
Yeah.
And it's already looking pretty shabby, and it's only 3 months old. So to kind of get them off of it, I'm going to put some aluminum foil on the areas that they're scratching, maybe spray it with a citrus-scented essential oil.
What does that do?
They just don't care for citrus too much.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so like lemon or orange. There's citrus blends, too. And I'm just hoping that we can live with it long enough for them to break the habit.
Now, is the foil uncomfortable when you
sit
down?
Oh, they don't like foil at all.
No, yeah. I mean, when you sit down.
Oh, well, I'll take it off when I sit down. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But so you think that after you take it off, the cat won't say, oh, now we've got this couch again?
They might.
Of course the cat will.
Yeah, they might. But I'm hoping that by then the habit will be broken. I will have more scratching posts than usual down there with all the catnip on them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so make the scratching post compelling. Go ahead.
I have another question that's related. At the end of June, there was an article in the New York Times about cats and training them, and this person said she has kitten training classes and they can teach them to go to the mat, to walk on a harness and a leash, and blah blah blah, and I thought, is that your experience?
I have one client in particular who has trained her cats to do tricks like dogs, and they're trainable. You just have to be very patient.
What kind of tricks?
Well, like shake. I mean, all the things, like the basic obedience
you're kidding
things
me.
That, yeah, roll
cats,
over and bang your dead.
Cats
and
do what they want to do.
Oh, you can, again, if they're food motivated, it's all like, was it classical conditioning? one of those.
Right.
Operant conditioning, one of the conditionings. Yeah.
That's great.
Can you train them not to scratch a couch?
Oh, well, that, I think that would be using negative reinforcement.
Yes, you'd have to electrify the couch.
Right.
So, or like a spray bottle or something. So you could, but then that's like not, I like to try to like offer alternatives, like deter the bad behavior,
right.
but not like in a really awful way.
Yeah, let me offer you another option, Madeline. Wooden furniture. I tell you,
super comfortable.
My cat Mitchell has destroyed every. Finally, I'm just like, whatever, enjoy. I can still sit down. Go ahead, rip it up. You know.
I know.
Yeah, well, so far I haven't gotten a cat again, so that may be my clearest solution.
I'm also putting blankets, I'm putting area blankets also on one of my couches, so they're going after the arm of this one couch in my office.
Oh. Yep.
And I just put my little blanket throw over it, and so far they haven't gone to the other part.
Well, Madeline, good luck, and I hope you train your cat to do some tricks, too. That would be fun. 800-348-2551 is our number. Pets and Vets today. Let's see what else is on the table. Let's go to Sheffield, Massachusetts. Barbara, you're on.
Hi, I'm so glad you took my call. I would like to address an anal gland problem with my darling cat. And I'm glad I heard what you told the man to do. Don't worry about bringing the cat to my vet to have it expressed. But does that ever go away, or is it here to stay?
No, it can go away for sure. But I wouldn't say just stop going to the veterinarian cold turkey, because I would hate for your cat's anal glands to abscess, and that's a whole new problem. So, but there is you can do sort of a weaning process off of the visits. Because I think if you were just to suddenly stop, you probably would run into a problem. So, but the same with, as I said, with the dog, you can bump up the fiber content of your kitty's diet. Cats are harder than dogs. They may not love canned pumpkin, but you can try. And then just, ask the vet to maybe try to express them from the exterior.
I haven't gotten away from my vet. I still go to the vet.
Yeah.
But I was going to bring her because her anus is just very inflamed sometimes, and she did prescribe Animax, this ointment, to put on for, I don't know what for, I guess it's
for the irritation.
I don't know what it is. So there's really nothing I can do then, right? I don't think the surgery is an option, because they say that isn't usually very successful.
Yeah. I would just tell your vet that you really want to work on weaning off the expressions, and let them guide you on how they like to do it. But that's my trick. So
okay,
she's only been expressed once. A year ago.
No,
I don't go all the time.
Oh, gotcha.
I want to.
Yeah. No, then I wouldn't go if she's not having a problem. She would have had a problem by now.
Good.
So if it's been a year, then you should be fine. And then just go for your regular visits.
All right, Barbara,
and ask them
thanks
not
a lot.
To do it. So.
Mike Bowen, the engineer, first time doing Pets and Vets. What do you think so far, huh? Pretty exciting? He's pretty thrilled. All right, let's see what else we can do. Paul is in Palmer. Paul, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So, my dog is about a two-year-old mixed breed, kind of a Australian Shepherd, Doberman Pinscher-looking little guy. And just moments ago, well, about 30 minutes ago, he threw up some a whole bunch of grass mixed with blood. And calling my vet, and they're closed. They called animal hospitals all around me, and they're at capacity. So I'm presently on my way to the Tufts Animal Hospital near Worcester to have them looked at. But I'm just curious, they eat grass all the time, but I've never seen blood like this. It's quite a bit of blood. And he got tackled with a skunk the other night. Was attacking it and thrashing it around. I'm not sure if he got bit or not, but I was just curious as to whether or not rabies, or there could have been something associated with the skunk that has prompted this.
That's a good question. I don't know. I assume the skunk sprayed its noxious fumes. I don't know that I've actually seen that, because I feel like dogs get skunked, as we say, an awful lot. And I haven't seen that, but I'm not sure that any of my patients have ever had a skunk in their mouth.
Could it be the skunk's blood?
The dog didn't eat the skunk, right?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no. one of our other dogs eats animals whole like that. But
splendid.
No, there was some blood when I was wiping him down to get the initial spray off. On the towel, there was some streaks of blood, but there's no sign of a wound on his body.
Yeah,
so I'm assuming
right.
that came from the skunk.
Yeah. The blood then that you're seeing in his vomit is probably, you know, his, and he's either got, I mean, it seems like a giant coincidence, but some sort of acute sort of gastroenteritis or gastritis. But so, yeah, I'm glad you're going, because especially if there was a lot of blood, it's good to have somebody just make sure that there's nothing weird going on, like his platelet count suddenly dropped, or, I mean, there's lots of things that can cause bleeding, but hopefully it's just a very simple case of gastritis, and they'll know when they see him because they'll look for other things too.
What if the dog has a mouth cut from the altercation with the skunk? Is that possible?
It's possible, but I think you would see that, right? I mean, have you looked in his mouth?
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, and
that
I've
should have clotted by
any
now.
Any indication of that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have thought. I mean, it's been
a couple
of days.
Yeah. Oh, 3 days. Yeah. Then that should have been that would almost be healed by now anyway.
Yeah.
So, so maybe he either got into something else, picked up something viral, perhaps.
Oh boy.
In which case, it's probably just going to require a little supportive care. But it's good that you're just getting it checked just to make sure there's nothing, because that is an unusual situation.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. We got to take a break. Go ahead. Go ahead, real quick.
Well, I was just going to say, he's not showing any outward signs of distress or lethargy or anything like that.
That's so good. We always prefer happy vomiters over sick vomiters. So.
words well spoken. Let's take a break here before something else happens. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today with Dr. Chris Dallas. We'll be back. Sunny Moon for Two, Sonny Rollins here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Hey, by the way, just saying, if you want to make a pledge to the Lockbox, it's open, WAMC.org. You can make a secure online pledge. You know, show your support for the poor dogs with the bad anal glands, WAMC.org. Chris Dallas is our guest today, and let's see, a couple emails, and then we'll go back to the phones.
All right.
This is from Judith. My daughter's 17-year-old cat was recently diagnosed with an oral Merkel cell carcinoma. Can you talk a little about this cancer in animals? What's the treatment and prognosis?
Well, unfortunately, oral tumors of the cat are not great.
No.
So they tend to grow pretty quickly, and they tend to be painful. And because they don't affect the organs of the body, unfortunately, we often have to make sort of the merciful call to let them pass once it's really affecting their just their quality of life. So most treatments, like if you were to take a cat like this to surgery, typically you get recurrence because you can't get clean margins because it's in the skull. So, but that's something that I would maybe talk to an oncologist about and see if they have any new treatments for something like that.
But I mean, 17 for a cat.
I know. They're probably going to offer, I don't even know if it would be radiation, but it's just a lot for a 17-year-old.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is from Deborah. My 12-year-old lab has been having trouble with bowel control at night. She seems fine during the day, but has been having more frequent accidents overnight. We let her out several times during the day and before going to bed. Any suggestions?
Yes. That is a Chinese herbal remedy, and that's all we've... There's nothing on the Western side for this. So.
Really?
Yeah, it's an old formula called Buzhong Yishitang, and I use it all the time for my older dog. It seems to be large breed dogs, and they will develop fecal incontinence, often wake up with stool in their bed. And actually, it's funny. I have two companies that make this that I use, and one works beautifully. The other one does not work as well. And the one that works well is currently on back order, and I'm getting all the calls from my clients who are saying, This other one doesn't work as
so
well.
So you think it's not? I'm glad you didn't say any brand names.
Yeah.
But do you think? I mean, you never know what you're getting, right?
Yeah. Well, I think. I mean, the other company, both are very reputable. One is actually a human product. That's the one that works well.
Ah.
So I don't know if it's more concentrated. Perhaps. I've just in my hands, it works better.
Yeah.
but I'm a little disappointed that I'm not getting as good results with the other one. So it is very apparently brand specific.
All right. This is from Lee in Oneonta. Then we'll go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Lee writes, I have an 11-year-old male yellow lab who was prone to seizures. Years ago, my vet suggested putting Bernie on Huperzine A, 200 micrograms, I guess. Bernie gets 3 tabs in his food in the morning, 3 tabs in the evening feeding. He has not had a seizure in over 3 years. Are you familiar with Huperzine or Huperzine A, since it is considered Chinese medicine?
I am not familiar with that.
It's Huperzine-A.
I have never heard of that.
Huh.
Nope. I'll have to look it up sometime.
All right. This is time now to go to the phones again. We'll go to Stafford, Connecticut. Chris, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Really appreciate it.
Sure.
I have a coonhound Australian Shepherd mix, but she presents as a coonhound. She doesn't really show the Australian in her.
Okay.
She's 2.5 years old, and about a year ago, she started staring up at the ceiling, and she does it multiple times. And when I say multiple, 20 or plus.
Mm.
And she focuses on the ceiling for about 3 to 4 seconds.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what room we're in. I thought originally that she was staring up at the ceiling fan, but it doesn't matter. She does it in every room of the house.
Mm.
So that could be a partial seizure that she's having in a part of her brain that just kind of makes her freeze and look up. And I'm not sure if it's something. I don't think it's something that you need to necessarily jump on right now. But it could progress to something of like a more generalized seizure. So that would be my first thought, was just, you know, be aware that she may be heading into, and she would be the right age to be heading into some sort of like of a, you know, epileptic kind of situation.
Mm.
But she also could remain just in that state where she just has these little moments where she, like, her brain is like a, it's like a brain freeze.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just a quirky behavior, but, typically like there are partial seizures that sound an awful lot like what you're talking about. One's even called like a fly biting seizure. So, and you know, it's definitely let your vet know about it. You know, they may recommend anticonvulsants earlier on. I probably would hold off myself and maybe even pull out a Chinese herb for something like that. But that's very doctor dependent as far as how quickly they want to treat something like that.
So it sounds like you're saying just wait until it progresses to a
until you have more evidence, yeah, because it's not. I feel like that's not a strong enough case to start a big Western medication. So for me, because I'm integrative, I probably would be pulling out a Chinese herb for something like that. Yeah, that's where it's nice to have that extra tool.
Herb. I like that.
Yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. This email from Deb and Gardner. I have this is cat versus furniture. I've invested in cat training tape. It is sheets of clear double-sided adhesive that sticks to furniture with a very tacky front side to deter cats scratching. It doesn't harm the furniture. It has allowed my cats to remain with full access to the house and not the barn.
That sounds like I might need to try that.
Okay. Let's go to Forestburg. And Mary, you're on. Hello, Mary.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I was wondering if the doctor could speak to canine dementia.
Mm.
I have a 15-year-old mixed terrier. And very mild symptoms and very intermittent, but there's like pacing and like restlessness, and sometimes he gets lost in the house.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, are you seeing a lot of this in older dogs? And is there any sort of like behavior modification or what can an owner do?
Yeah.
I know it's nothing that can be cured, obviously.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I do see a lot of canine cognitive dysfunction in my practice. And I will, depending on how it presents, you know, Chinese medicine, we tend to break things into patterns. So not all dogs with this presenting with the same problem would have the same treatment. But there is a new over-the-counter supplement that I love, and I will often try that first. So if you just Google like canine cognitive dysfunction supplement, you will find it, because I believe it's the only one out there. It's it really, just give it, buy one bottle, and if you don't see a dramatic change by the end of the bottle, I wouldn't necessarily buy a second one, because you really, if it's going to work, it's going to work. It's going to be very obvious. So and that's, as I know, I'm not supposed to say brand names.
Brand names,
so,
Mary, you get the idea, right?
Yeah, if you Google that, like the supplement for canine cognitive dysfunction, I think you'll find it.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mary. Appreciate you hanging on the line so long. We have so many calls here. David and Pauling, you're on. David.
Hey, thank you. I heard you mentioned talking about things that kill weeds that possibly were bad for dogs, and it got me to thinking. My last two dogs have passed from a thing called Cushing's disease. And I was just wondering if there was any correlation between the Cushing's disease and their demise, because I think the odds are kind of against it, I think. But
That's bad luck to have that twice. So, you know, Cushing's is caused by basically a benign tumor. So it's not even cancerous, but it's a hormone-producing tumor either in the pituitary gland or in the adrenal gland, and it causes an overproduction of cortisol in the body, and that can cause all kinds of symptoms. So, you know, with things like that, it's hard to pinpoint one thing. I think the cause is often multifactorial. So you've got breed predisposition, you might have environmental factors. And so I think it's hard to say, like, oh, you know, chemicals cause this. But they probably do put stress on the body that, you know, we'd be better off without. So, you know, our household is, we try to be as chemical free as possible, and we could still end up, you know, with horrible diagnoses. So, but you try to control what you can, and you just have to give away the rest of the, you know, to fate and get, you know, bad luck. But so, yeah, I'm sorry you dealt with that, because that is, it's not a fun one to deal with, because it just causes a lot of symptoms.
It's a terrible way to watch your pet go.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's, our childhood dog had it as well, and it was, she had a lot of symptoms. So treatments have gotten a little bit better over the years, a little less toxic, but I can't say that we have found a cause that we can just point to and say that's it. So these things are usually multifactorial.
All right, David, thanks.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
And let's go to Tina in Salem. Tina, you're on with Dr. Chris Dallas.
Hi. I was fostering some kittens in the summer, and two of them came down with FIP, one the wet form, one the dry form, and of course I lost them both.
I'm sorry.
And then one of my own 15-year-old females got it, and I lost her. And over the weekend, my 16-year-old male came down with it, and I lost him.
Oh, no.
I'm wondering if the holistic offers any supplements I could give to my remaining cats to keep them, hopefully keep them from ever coming down with it.
Well, very quickly, what is FIP?
FIP is feline infectious peritonitis, and it is kind of the scourge of the feline world because we don't have a vaccine for it. You know, and I don't know if my understanding of it is incorrect because, well, I'm 22 years out of vet school now, so things have changed, and I haven't kept up with all the things. But my understanding is it's caused by a common virus called coronavirus, which we are now all intimately familiar with. And that coronavirus infects almost all cats and causes transient diarrhea when they're kittens. It mutates in certain cats and becomes a very deadly, almost like a mutation. So, Tina, I'm surprised to hear that it seemed to pass within the household because, you know, conventional wisdom would say that it doesn't, it's not, quote unquote, contagious. So that is really pretty tragic. There is a new treatment that has come out in literally probably in the last 6 months. I believe it is now legal in the United States. People were finding it on the black market because this is like the one disease that we've had our hands tied with. And it affects them when they're young. But I don't know the name of the treatment. I just read about it recently. And I don't know if it would be considered a preventative for your other cats as much as something to consider if they were to start showing symptoms.
Showing symptoms, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And holistically?
Yeah, I attended a
Go ahead.
A Cornell
Good.
Zoom meeting, and it's remdesivir.
That's it, remdesivir. Yep, thank you.
And Paxlovid.
So that's an antiviral, right?
Humans.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And have they said, do they have it? Are they using it yet at Cornell?
They didn't say if they were using it yet.
Okay.
It's just extremely hard to get.
It's hard to get,
extremely expensive.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's so many disreputable dealers, it's hard to know if you're getting the real deal or not.
Yep, that's right. So holistically, you know, I would consider some sort of, you know, sort of general immune support for them. But it, whether I have experience preventing it or not, I can't say that I have experience with that because I tend to see them when they're sick.
Mm.
And usually there's not much I can do for them. So,
Sorry,
that's really, I cannot believe your older cats got it too.
Let's go to Carrie in Selkirk. Carrie, you're on with Dr. Chris Dallas.
Hi, I have a 10-and-a-half-year-old, he's actually a wild dog from Guam, who has congenital malformation of his knees, which has now progressed into degenerative arthritis in his front right knee. We've done steroids, we've done anti-inflammatories, he's taking like a really good, you know, joint supplement. But really, that joint is very swollen, very painful. I was just wondering if you had any suggestions comfort kind of thing.
Sure. I mean, there's a couple of things. There's one new medication that is, it's a injectable antibody, believe it or not, that targets tumor necrosis factor, which has a lot to do with pain from arthritis.
Yeah.
And that is one you could try if your dog is not showing signs of weakness in the back end. So that would be neurologic weakness in the back legs. So, you know. Have you tried that injectable yet or?
We haven't.
Okay.
The vet had talked to me about
okay.
it. Yeah.
I think it's a really good option, and now would be a good time to try it while your dog's hind end is still pretty strong. And then another option would be to try like a pulse magnetic therapy device, and you can ask your vet what their preferred one is. There's one that most vets are using now.
What does it do?
Pulse magnetic therapy is it's literally a magnet that pulses. It has they have a batteries attached to it, and it has about the same pain management of efficacy as like a non-steroidal drug. So it's way to like add a layer of pain management without adding an extra medication.
Fascinating.
So, yeah.
Carrie, thanks for that. Does that work on humans?
It does. The human ones that I've seen are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So I have two at my office that I lend out to people to try.
That's
and
so funny.
I keep not having time to get on because I've injured my shoulder again. I want to lie on it myself and try it out, but I keep having patients who need it more than me. So
my mother-in-law always swore by magnets. She had
magnets. Oh, really? Oh,
and,
interesting.
I always thought she was a nut, but apparently it's true.
Well, these have a pulsing like energy, so they're like they pulse on and off.
Yeah,
I can't speak to magnets at all.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, this email, we're about done here with Dr. Chris Dallas. Here's one from Joe in LaGrangeville, who swears that this is not a joke.
Okay,
training your cat. You can train cats to do certain things. For example, Joe says we train two of our cats to run on a giant wheel like a hamster. Our Bengal runs multiple times every day and night before the wheel. She was constantly interrupting us, wanting attention. It's been well over 4 years now, and she still loves it, so it's not just a fad. We just used classical conditioning, about 10 minutes a day. It took several weeks before she did it on her own, but it definitely worked.
Yeah, I believe it. I've seen videos of cats running in wheels.
Cats,
and
feline in
stuff.
The turbine, I guess, is the video he said today. I didn't click the link because that violates all the station policies. I don't know what it is. All right, Dr. Chris Dallas, how do people find Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Service?
We are at www.ancientartsveterinary.com. And we are in Saratoga Springs.
And things are going well?
Yeah.
You got too many customers now? Or?
No, I had to kind of reduce it so I only see one new person a week because it was getting a little, I didn't have room for my regulars.
But right.
I cannot go to 5 days a week because, as we talked about before the show, I have a lot of home responsibilities
You do. And it sounds like your home responsibilities are very similar to my house because it sounds like your husband's a slouch, too. So there you go. Thank you very much for being here. Support comes from ArtSpark, Saratoga Springs, New York. Don't worry there. I'm also there with you, buddy. ArtSpark, Saratoga Springs, New York. specializing in digital marketing for artists and arts organizations, website design, consultations, logos, and more, artspark.com. MCLA's Inclusive Democracy Election Panel, hosting a discussion on ways to engage and improve our democracy, moderated by A.J. Enchel, Dr. Samantha Petty, and Joe Donahue, and Dr. Mason Williams, September 26th at 5 p.m., mcla.edu. And Harbrook Fine Windows, Doors, and Hardware, family-owned since 1955, design, installation, and energy-efficient windows and doors by Marvin, showroom 47 Railroad Avenue, Albany, harbrook.com. Well, thanks again to Dr. Chris Dallas for being here today. Nice job. Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. Andrea Leon screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, astronomy with Bob Berman and Dr. Valerie Rapson. See you at 2:00.